Happy holidays, Sexy Time Podcast listeners. Alice and I hope your holiday season is filled with great passion, pleasure, and joy. Thank you all so much for your loving support you give each and every year. May you all have a very Merry Christmas and a delightfully seductive New Year. So, until next year, stay sexy, stay safe, and don't get caught with Santa.
Welcome to Sexy Time, where we answer your questions about sex, relationships, and everything sexy in between. Don't forget, you can send your burning questions by voice or email to sexytimedlove@gmail.com. That's sexytimedlove@gmail.com. Anonymous questions are welcome. Thanks for hooking up with us today. Now, let's cozy up and join our hosts, Alice and BK Johnson.
Hey there, welcome back to Sexy Time.
Hello, how you doing?
I am chilling. I'm excited to answer sexy questions from all y'all out there. And I'm ready to go. Thanks for making us a part of your sexy day. How are you, Alice?
I'm good. You know, I've been thinking a lot lately of our live stream community from back in the day. Mm. And I just want to say hello and hi and love you all. It's so fantastically delicious to think about you all. And I hope you're doing super fucking well wherever you are in the world this season. I hope you're staying warm and, more importantly, smoking hot.
I love it. I challenge all of you out there, since this is the holiday season in many places, and I think almost everywhere. It's the winter solstice, at least. Anyway, it's a great time with technology to send a lovely message to a bunch of people. You know, it was recently Thanksgiving in America, at least last month, and give some thanks to people that you've experienced and are still kind of semi in contact with, or at least can send out a message. It never hurts to send out some positivity out there. You never know what you're gonna get.
Speaking of which, I challenge you all to do that. Thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks to we got our little Spotify Wrapped history. Thanks to those of you who are listening to us from the Philippines, United States,
Canada,
UK, and Germany.
Yes, top five nations.
How very exciting. And we've got almost 100 of you put us in your top 10 podcasts. So thanks for that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And that's just on Spotify. So we're really grateful that a bunch of you are enjoying the show. Keep those questions coming. Please keep the support coming. And if you want to give us a little gift for the new year, don't forget you can follow and support us on patreon.com/sexytimepodcast. Mm-hmm. You know, we're pretty cheap. We make a good stocking stuffer. If you're still looking for a late, perhaps, gift for the holidays, you know, we actually have memberships where you can bring a friend with you to our Pillow Talk segment, where you get unfettered access to me and BK on your own schedule right now, actually. It's even more of a benefit. But thanks to those of you who are supporting us, including our shout out tiers. We've got Monster J. We got Mark. And we got James.
James is with a Z. Thank you so much. Mahal kita to all you in the Philippines.
Oh yeah.
Mabuhay, baby. I'm half Filipino, so I guess they can just sense it, and that's why they're listening so much. I love it. Thank you very much. Canada, sorry, but you're amazing too. And, and United Kingdom.
Sorry, not sorry.
Jolly good. And Germany, I like your food.
Actually, I've been thinking of the UK and a beer lot lately, because I finally got around to watching Ted Lasso. And I'm telling you, BK, you got to watch it. It is so heartwarming. There's not a lot of sex, but the sex that's in it is hot.
It's set in the UK?
It is set in the UK.
Oh, that's amazing. I heard great things about it. I didn't know it was in the UK. Let's go.
Immediately, sir.
I'd recommend it.
You must watch immediately.
It is amazing when you think about it that we're almost up 100 fans in their top 10 of podcasts, because there's a lot of options out there in podcast land, and thank you so much. That's really cool, actually, thinking about that.
Well, and just from Spotify. Yeah, that's a big thing.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, wherever you may be. Today
wherever you find us.
Sexy Question Day. So again, if you want to send questions, then send in sexytimedlove@gmail.com is the easiest way. If you are a Patreon, you will get access to our Discord where you can actually message us there as well. We take questions there as well. So those are the best two ways to get these questions in. Would you like to go first? Want me to go? Alice, I'll let the lady decide. Ladies first.
Why don't I drop this one on you here?
Okay.
This is not a very long one, but I think this is one that you might be in a great position to help with.
Okay. I'll do my best.
I'm very sad for these folks, but I'm very grateful that they felt like they could reach out to us. This comes from a 30-year-old male, and he says, I am struggling to be very supportive of my girlfriend, who's a 28-year-old female. She's an amazing human. I love her to bits. However, recently she was diagnosed with autism and ADHD. And ever since her actual diagnosis, her habits have become worse. At no point does she like her job. And because of that, she doesn't leave her bed until after noon. And then she gets really stressed about the amount of work she has to do. But her bad sleep schedule is making it worse, even though she says it's working for her. Again, she absolutely hates her job. But now she says it's too much work and effort to find another one. She thinks that I'm selling out in my own career, and she makes fun of me for following one. I'm having a really tough time with all of these conversations. I want to help her. Sorry, this next sentence is a little hard to understand. He says, I want to help her. I'm going to reword this a little bit. And even though she says she's constantly struggling, when I give her advice, she says it hurts her feelings. They've been discussing these things in therapy, and it doesn't seem to have gotten any better. I do all of the cooking. I take care of all of the cleaning around the apartment, and I do everything to make easier her life. Unfortunately, things since her diagnosis have continued to spiral, and I feel like I'm watching a train wreck. Please help me. How can I be supportive in this situation?
Oh man, I'm sorry. That's a very difficult situation. And I am very open with my ADHD diagnosis. I was diagnosed with adult ADHD, or at least that's when I got my diagnosis, and I didn't believe it actually for a long time, and it was very tentative to try the medication, but luckily my wife was very supportive, and also was my sanity check a bit, because I made sure that we were on the same board and that she would observe me, and she would know better than anybody that the differences between me being on it and off of it. And that was kind of my going through the ADHD diagnosis and testing to be medicated for it and treatment for it, which I've been doing probably for about, I don't know, 6 years, something like that, maybe about that, 5-6 years. Anyway, just to give you some background before I get into the question about my history with ADHD or autism, and I think I have a couple nephews who have autism. Anyway, so I understand that. Like, I like the way you phrase the question this as well, because I completely understand those moments of the hating of the job. My main question, though, for you first would be, is she getting medication at all, or is it only therapy that she's being treated for? Because medication can be very, like, it's a volatile, double-edged sword sometimes, where it's like it can make things worse or make things better, or, like, you have weird side effects and whatnot. So is that partially... Was there a change in that? And that's what I did with my wife, my partner, was the check on that. Is this medicine good for me and our relationship? And if you haven't done that, then you might want to double check that to see what's going on. Now, it sounds like you're going through therapy.
She's going through therapy.
Oh, I thought they were taking it together. She's only doing
therapy. He said they. So I'm assuming he's talking about her and the therapist.
Okay. I gotcha. And so, okay. And so I do think the biggest problem in this is you seem to be the one who are more of a caretaker and taking care of and the leader. And she is not taking the gumption to try to work together to improve things, not just improve her own life, but also the relationship. Like it's not, you're cooking for her, you're cleaning for her, you're taking care of her in many ways. And she is either, from what it sounds like, making comments to drag you down to her level, actually. To put it that way, where it's like making fun of you for trying to follow a career, saying you're selling out. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, it's very like, be like me, come down to this level where you're trying to say, no, we should both be at a level where we like our job. Wouldn't that be nice? How about you? You know? And that's what you're pushing for, where she's not working with you there. So the main advice is to focus on that. Figure out what is this relationship dynamic, what you both truly want in that, I think would be the best advice I would have for that, instead of trying to look at those little details of and it sounds bad, but like people want to look for the reasons, because I almost said excuses. It's not an excuse. These are real things, but like, and things you have to deal with. But I think a lot of the times we try to lock on and say, oh, it's the ADHD. I had the same thing where I'm like, I couldn't believe it was. And I was like, oh, wait, well, you know, I got information from my wife. I checked it for myself. I looked at my, analyzed myself and did a deep dive on what was going on. And so I think that's what you need to do for the relationship between you, and focus on that. What's going on between you two? Because it sounds like, in this current state, it's definitely, she's not good for you. And when you try to help her, she gets angry, is what you're saying. You try to even give her advice and she says, that just hurts my feelings. So again, like,
yeah.
Are you good for her? Is she good for you? That's what I would focus on. And also try to see what you would want to do moving forward to work together instead of trying to separate, right? Like right now it seems like that's a easy way to separate is say she has ADHD and autism. I just don't know. It's like, oh no, take it from someone who has at least half of that. They're still a person and you connect with that. You don't worry about them having ADHD or autism or whatever. You're saying, well, go focus on the relationship and what's going on and what they really want, because that will overcome anything. The personality, their desires, their actual self will overcome those disabilities or whatever you call them, illnesses or whatever it is, right? So focus on that and find that out. Unfortunately, with this, it sounds like you've been trying, but really just cut off all that fat, cut out all that extra baggage of like, don't talk about what you're doing for her. Don't talk about the autism and ADHD as much. Talk about the relationship and what you guys want to do moving forward. Are you good for each other? What's going on here? That thing. I would try to cut out all these details that you're going into as much as possible would be my advice.
Thanks, BK. I don't have a ton to add. I mean, you are a little bit more the expert here in this case, having been through a lot of these things together in your own relationship, and with your own life and your family members. I will say, just to echo, like, yes, therapy, yes, discussions of medication and making sure that you're paying attention to that, just echoing those things for you. Also in terms of the advice, it doesn't sound like she wants your advice. And going on what BK said also, you know, it's like, it sounds like there's a little bit of a mismatch here. I don't know if she's a night owl and you're a morning person, but it sounds like that may also be the case. It also sounds like you're very career driven and she is not. Especially if she's making fun of you and calling you a sellout, like it sounds like she really doesn't value that. And that makes me wonder if, regardless of her autism and her ADHD, she were to continue to go down the same path that she's on right now, career-wise, for the rest of her life, would you want to spend that with her? And I think that's a really important, honest question to ask, and then to talk with her about when and if you're willing and ready to share that with her, because at some point you're going to have to come to terms with whether you can continue in this relationship or not, given the paths that the two of you are taking. And if you're not able to come together on these things, or, you know, I mean, sometimes you love somebody enough that it doesn't matter. Sometimes you're able to love somebody unconditionally enough that, and you have your own flexibility. Maybe you're making enough money in whatever career it is that you are doing that you can support her and that you don't mind doing that actually. But you have to get to a point if you're going to do that where you don't mind. And at the moment it sounds like you do mind. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get to a point where it's not about whether or not this is fair, you know, if you want to get to a point where you're not looking at this from such an equalist mindset, where it's okay if she's not working, or it's okay if she's not working as much, that's on your end. But she also has to come to terms with the fact that you are career driven, and she has to be okay with who you are mm-hmm. as much as you have to be okay with who she is. And if you guys can get to that point, then all power to you. But at this point, I think you've got a long road to walk if you want to continue to be in this relationship. And I think that's a really honest thing for you to need to look at for yourself.
I love it. And they need to get on the same page on that, because it's okay for them to, for him to pay for everything and all this. And that happens a lot where it's like, if they're both okay with it. Also, sometimes it's like, while you're down, I'm going to be doing this, and then, I'm doing this so that you can eventually get to the point where you can support yourself, right? Like sometimes they do that, but if you don't say that or have that conversation, it's terrible, because they just think, oh, they're okay for paying for me forever, and they're like, no, I was doing this because I know you're down, and you know, but they didn't have that conversation. So it's going to be a lot of that communication and being on the same page first. And let me go give a counterpoint, the positive side, because you talking about it, Alice, helped a lot saying, about addressing some of the things that concerned you. And also when you saying like, I am kind of the person who would know, I can share some of my experiences with ADHD. And so one thing, when I first took the medicine, I remember this vividly. I went on a walk with my wife and she observed me, and I talked about it with her, like in detail of what's going on, how I feel, if she notices anything. But one thing I remember, it made me think, wow, I don't fear or care at all right now. And it's kind of scary. I could see, because I've seen a lot of people concerned about kids being diagnosed with it and getting medicated too early, where I'm like, oh, that's very scary. I'm an adult, so I know that I'm not going to jump in front of this bus or do something crazy right now, but I feel like I could, and not be fearful of any repercussions. That's how I felt. And I was like, wait a second, because it really tampered down my fear of those things. Where it's like, you know, because I think the ADD would make me ramped up of like, you know, don't do it. You get kind of like that nervous energy where it's like, oh, whoa, that is completely gone. I actually feel like I could do that. And if she is getting medicated, because he didn't say that, which is fine, because HIPAA and all that, whatever. But like, if she is doing that, that might have been the case where like, why is she making fun of me or doing this? That kind of say like, oh, maybe she's like, actually, like, I don't care. I can say these things now, even though I felt them and I was scared to. That could be a possibility. I don't know. Who knows? Also, night owl versus morning person, you were saying, I was like, oh, yeah. I remember that, like, that pressure from the job, like, it takes a while for me, I noticed in my life, to quit. These jobs aren't good for me, and I need to find a good career. And, like, I would last, like, probably 4 years was the max on a decent job, and it was usually just because of the pay. But, like...
That's like my monogamous relationships. Oh, sorry, right? Go on.
Yeah, yeah, it's very similar.
Minus the pay.
But so they might be, again, I could see also a picture from her side that she is screaming for help, but not doing it in a constructive way, in a more destructive way of making fun of you, or like also doing these things and saying she's hurt when you give her advice, because it's like she's dealing with a lot. And if she is dealing with medication too and therapy and all this stuff, she might be overloading everything. And that will make her want to do these things with possibly with the career stuff. Where I remember I've had days like that where it's like I was in bed all that time because I really didn't want to go to work. And then like it really saps your energy. So I can relate to her as well on that end. But I do think that it's again, bottom line, and it might sound like tough love a bit, but and it's not, it's just my personal experience. It's like I still didn't get to the point of like that where it's just the choice of agreeing with what you're going to be or not. I'm trying to say, sorry, it's confusing. I'm trying to get it in my mind, but it's kind of like alcohol to me. Like when I got really drunk, it showed, or a lot, or you could say getting rich. It's not like it's not going to change you, but it shows more of who you are in that moment. And again, no one's perfect. So maybe she's showing you the bad moments, but like, I do think that's the only concern I would have on the negative side is that really what she is? Cause maybe it is, maybe she's not career driven at all. Maybe it is. She's this completely different. Maybe she does want to make fun of you all the time and then holding it back. Maybe that is the case. I don't know. But, again, it's not so much as like going extreme one way or the other. That's definitely who she is, or that's what's dealing with it. It's not an excuse saying like, oh no, yeah, it must have been the medication, and yeah, she actually doesn't feel that way. She just was dealing with it the first time. She didn't care. Okay, it's not either of those extremes. Again, my main advice is to figure out the relationship and what she really wants and cares about long term, because that's what Alice was talking about. It's like, yeah, you're gonna do this forever? Well, think long term a bit and say, okay, until you're good. So you deal with this ADD and autism thing more, because let's not talk about that as much, but what are we going to do moving forward now in little steps? And then what's the goal for the future? And if she really is going to want to hurt you all the time with what she's saying and doing, then maybe it's not good for you, but maybe it's not. Maybe give it a try. So
Find out if you can get on the same page or be okay with each other's pages.
Mm-hmm. But memory lanes with ADD. Anyway. Mm. Great question. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So here's a lovely question. Ever since I stumbled upon your podcast, I've been completely captivated. Well, thank you. As a 46-year-old single woman, there's a topic I'd love for you to explore. The societal taboo surrounding older women having younger partners. Especially when the woman is the elder in the relationship. I've experienced a May-December romance before where I was the younger one involved with someone 21 years my senior. It inevitably ended due to circumstances. He's married. And it was a significant learning experience. Now I find myself in a different position as the older partner relationship with a 28-year-old man, creating an 18-year-old gap. Logically, there shouldn't be any issues as we're both single, but there's a lingering fear that I might become too attached while he could outgrow the relationship due to his youth. At this point, given my greater life experience, which means she is 46. No, she says that. Okay. I see reflections of my younger self in him. Okay. I care deeply for him and want to shield him from the challenges I faced in the past. He often reassures me that our relationship is different from my previous affair, emphasizing its legitimacy. As a 46-year-old woman, I'm currently navigating my perimenopausal phase. And grappling perimenopausal phase and grappling with insecurities about my appearance, especially considering he's in his prime. I don't want to place blame on him, but I'm also wary of finding myself on the losing end of our relationship, especially when we're both genuinely in love. Unfortunately, I lack friends who can relate to my situation. And in the end, there's a perception of me as a predator, despite both of us being consenting adults. Should I yield to my insecurities despite being well aware of my strengths and weaknesses, acknowledging that succumbing to another heartbreak is among my vulnerabilities? There are instances in our relationship when he grapples with career insecurities, and while I willingly offer guidance, it becomes problematic when our respective insecurities collide. Additionally, he envisions raising a family, a prospect I'm not inclined towards. As I approach 50 and he remains in his 30s, I'm apprehensive about potential emotional pain. It feels like regardless of age or relationship phase, women are often positioned as the ones at a disadvantage. At this moment, I seek reassurance from someone in a similar situation, affirming that I shouldn't let external factors impact me, no matter what unfolds. I aim to maintain a positive outlook on our relationship, believing that our single status should not pose an issue. However, external factors introduce a level of anxiety, including considerations like my age, his conservative family, and societal norms at large. Despite a growing acceptance of same-sex relationships, I feel that wide age gaps are not as readily embraced by society, and this societal attitude poses a challenge for relationships like ours. I'm hoping that you can provide insights on this matter and potentially initiate a discussion about relationships of this nature. Thank you sincerely.
Well, thank you so much for sending in this question. First of all, I want to address the elephant in the room, which is who decided that you were a predator? because I do not see any predatory behavior in here at all. Mm. And yes, I understand I'm not part of a conservative family. So maybe that's where you're getting this. But this man is in his late 20s. He's not underage, his brain is fully formed. In fact, that's like the high bar, right? Like the high bar has been cleared. And as long as you're not his boss, or in some kind of position over him, you by definition are not predatory. So whatever, I don't know, whatever film or TV or strange media, I shouldn't say strange, because we all watch these things, right? Whatever you have watched that has made you feel like this is predatory, maybe you should like start watching some French films or something. Because I feel like, I don't know, this is, what was it, Mrs. Robinson? What was that movie?
The Graduate.
I watched it not that long ago. The Graduate. You know, every man I've ever talked to talks about that character as though she's like magical. You know, like she was worshipped by men as an actress after doing that movie. I mean, I don't actually think that older women are looked at as predators as much as older men are, in fact, in our society. But that's just my perception and my opinion. Again, I am not in a conservative family. I do, however, I have had experience with a couple of family members who've had non-conventional relationships. Not that yours is that unconventional. And as far as perspectives go and like what other people think, I think if you're going to continue with this relationship, it needs to be because you have a love that's so strong that you don't give a fuck what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my aunt married a man who is much, much older than her, actually probably about the same age range, maybe 20 years. And at first it was a thing, but now, you know what, 30 years later, nobody cares. And my, you know, the strangest thing, I had a family member who married his stepmother. And I know that sounds crazy, but actually they were very close
in age.
Sounds like a porn.
Okay, yeah, yeah, okay.
They were very close in age, and he was never raised by her. It's really not so, but I was at that wedding as a child and I remember thinking, oh my gosh, how scandalous. But you know what? They didn't care. And I got to grow up watching them having the most beautiful relationship, and it really didn't matter. So whether it's because it's a non-standard relationship or because there's a huge age gap or whatever, it's one of those things where when you show people who you really are, that's what's going to change their minds. So you're being given an opportunity to show people, in fact, when it doesn't matter, that age gaps don't matter. You're being given an opportunity to change the narrative rather than to bow down to it. And I just want to encourage you, if you truly love this man, as I believe you do because you're afraid of losing him, I want to encourage you to realize that you can be the change. You can be the difference in the world that you want to live with. And you and your partner together can change your family's perspectives on things. And whether you do or not, it doesn't matter. You still get to live the relationship and the love that you desire. Now, you're 46 years old. I'm guessing, as you're saying, that you're in perimenopause, that you're not looking to have children quickly on a timetable. If you were looking to have children quickly on a timetable, I would say it's really important for you to discuss that with him. But it sounds like you are not. And so, assuming that you are not, I also want to encourage you that any relationship, I'm going to say it again, any relationship, no matter the ages, no matter the differences, runs a risk of it not lasting forever. In fact, everything is temporary. Every one of us is going to die. And you don't know that you're going to die before your partner. He may die before you. Who knows? My point is, the two of you might break up 2 months, 2 years, 20 years, or 50 years from now. One of you might die before the other one. I can't guarantee what's going to happen in your relationship, but if you really love him, it shouldn't matter how old he is. If you feel like the two of you are compatible, in love, willing to go the distance, and ready to be with each other. And if that's how it feels to you, and that's what it sounds like he's saying to you, then I say, screw the inner critic. And I know it's more of an inner critic, it sounds like, than an outer critic. And as far as the outer critics go, well, you don't need them at all.
It's a perfect...
It's really just between you and him.
It's a perfect question for this month's soapbox, because that's what we soapbox about this month. The influence of that.
It's
I love
true.
It.
It's yeah. true.
But I love that, Alice. I don't think I can add too much, but I will piggyback a lot of what you said. One talking about, you nailed that. That was beautiful. I have a new hate for this term cougar now because of what we just talked about. Well, you picked up on the word predator. I'm like, oh, is that why? Because they call them cougars and cougars are predators.
Oh,
I have no idea.
Yes.
I have no idea. But you're completely right, spot on, where it's like, oh, his brain's fully developed. You're both adults and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, do you have more power over him? Like, are you in a... You're his boss or whatever, then it's not predator or power harassment or whatever they want to call it. They have that term in Japan, power harassment, for that. So the different rankings, but like age.
I mean, if you were his teacher 15 years ago, then probably this is a bad idea.
Yeah, right. That's true. Just like you're talking about with the stepmother. It's like, if they raised you like that when you had the influence on them when they were impressionable and not an adult, it makes sense that you're abusing that power that you had over them. But, So I love what you just said. I just want to say it again. A love that doesn't give a fuck about what other people think. That is so key. It made me think of one of my favorite classic old songs. It's not classic, but it's Akon. Nobody wants to see us together, but it don't matter. No, it don't matter. It doesn't matter that no one else is like, oh, they don't want to see that. They don't want to see you guys together. It's like, oh... Yeah, it doesn't matter if you guys are good for each other is what I always think of. But even if you're not great for each other in the long run, what if you're great for each other right now? It doesn't matter. Like, and then so many things, even if you're not great for each other, but you need each other right now, then it doesn't matter. So I love that. I love that doesn't give a fuck about what other people think. That is the love we're always looking for, I think. Most of us would want that love in any time or shape or form. So that is what I think you're experiencing right now, what you're saying. And I love it. For talking about the children, that is the biggest hurdle. You were talking about conservative relationships, conservative families affecting the relationship. I know I came from a more conservative family or upbringing, at least, too. I was lucky to get down that path of I don't give a fuck what the people think. But children, I remember, I mean, for those of you know, me and my wife have dealt with infertility issues our whole marriage and up to this point. But I remember some of the most helpful people were like one of my managers in America had a like she had to do adoption too because when she finally wanted kids she was I think of older age and also she never really wanted kids anyway, but then she got older and wanted them and did adoption and she was saying how much of a blessing it was and she was always saying the positive things to it. Now of course anyone who's dealing with infertility doesn't appreciate it when they're trying to push it on someone. Because like they were kind of getting close where it's like, oh, you just should do adoption. Stop trying to do it with your wife and stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe later, you know. But that might be a case for you. But be very honest and have these conversations with him. Because right now, if he's trying to say, I want to have children with you, and you're saying not now, the age thing will be the main issue. And you would say, well, okay, maybe in the future for adoption, but not children like that way. Which is, there's pros and cons, and depending on what you want. And see... Broach all those things with him because that sounds like that's the biggest hurdle. The biggest hurdle is that. Yeah, if you want kids or if he's going to say this is a deal breaker, right? Because if he's pushing for it and says like, if they're putting it off for now and then later he says, you know what, that would be the one thing I see from this question that could be the problem moving forward long term.
Yeah, so, that's like the only question really. I mean, if you guys don't want kids, it's not an issue.
Yeah, and maybe even you could even use that example of mine or other. I'm sure you've met people with this too, where it's like, even people I know in my close family never wanted kids, and then they changed their mind later. People change. You may not want kids now, and then when you're like really old and say, "Crap, I wish I didn't do that," but hey, there's adoption still, and you can talk about that. You can use that story as an example of like. So you don't have to say like, I never want kids with him. Say, I don't want kids and I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to, but I may change later. But right now, I don't want kids. And given the age, you'll never want kids that way. If you do want kids, it'll have to be through adoption. You can have all these types of conversations and see how he feels about that and see if that's going to be a problem moving forward and seeing what you want to do with the relationship. Even if it is going to be a semi-deal breaker again, who gives a fuck about what other people think? That goes for us too, or society, where it's like, yeah, maybe you just want to have this great relationship for a couple years and then you know it's not going to work because of this children issue. That's fine too. Again, there's going to be relationships that are good for both of you that you need. Everyone has had those as well. So, and any relationship, as Alice was saying, runs the risk of ending and will end eventually somehow or some way.
I bet you though, like for every person who thinks, oh my God, what an age gap. I can't believe she's with him or he's with her. There's going to be some other like person or couple who thinks it's sexy or fascinating or really interesting. Like for every person who judges you, you're going to find somebody else who thinks you're a badass.
Jealous, baby. Yeah. It's like, and you, I love how you referred to The Graduate, because I mean, coming from my puberty perspective and, or being like going through college and that stuff, like, it's like, oh yeah, it's honorable. You know,
he was actually, he was in college or something. Yeah. So his brain was not yet fully formed, unlike this guy.
But yeah, exactly. But I can see the, like you said, everyone loved that actress after that and all these things. And I could see why, because it's like, it cut that woman had the bravery and commitment to the truth to cut through all the shit that we're talking about, society's pressures, the judgment from all this internally and externally, where she's like, I don't give a fuck. That is the part that makes it so amazing. And it's like, yeah, that's what we're actually talking about. And that's, I think that's awesome. And I think that you're on the right track to finding that same thing with you. And I would say use this story of this part of your life to empower yourself with that. Because again, we've had things in movies, we've had things in real life show this, as long as it's adult, consensual, and all these other things, you're not harassing with power. It's actually an honorable thing that you're doing to push against some of these societal norms that can ruin people's lives. So fight the power, and thank you for your question.
Yeah.
I love this question. That's great.
Congratulations. I hope your conversations continue and your love blossoms.
And we might have to soapbox. This month we soapbox on this particular topic.
That's our next topic.
But so we can soapbox again on another one later about the age, because I think that's a fascinating one. That judgment too. Yep, someday. All right. Well, again, send your questions to sexytimedlove@gmail.com or join our Patreon at patreon.com/sexytimepodcast. And you can Discord us through that. So thank you so much for your support.
Anything? Woo-hoo!
You want to... Oh, yeah, I have to close it up, don't I? I was going to say, shift it over to Alice, but... we'll see you next week for another sexy time episode. Until then, stay sexy, stay safe.
And don't get caught in public. Happy fucking New Year.
Happy New Year. Oh, fuck yeah.
Thank you so much for coming along with us on this episode of Sexy Time. The party goes on after each show, with unfettered access to your hosts in an uncensored and private live segment we call Pillow Talk. Become a Sexy Time subscriber to join in on the fun at patreon.com/sexytimepodcast. That's patreon.com/sexytimepodcast. It is always a pleasure to see you there. If you've enjoyed our company and would like to support us, be sure to tap that share button and spread the love. Join us again next week wherever you listen to podcasts for another Sexy Time. Until next time, this is the Mistress of Ceremonies sending her love. Stay sexy.